Hi, brothers and sisters, and welcome to our Get Out With God podcast. I'm Rick.
And I'm Christine, and we're the Ingrams, founders of the Viking and the Lioness Ministries.
Our mission is to encourage people to get out with God in order to begin to heal, become whole, and live well, spirit, soul, and body.
And we hope that this podcast blesses you with the word of the Lord and serves as bite-sized encouragement as you clear the clutter, quiet the noise, and draw closer in your relationship with the Lord.
We invite you to subscribe to the podcast, share it with others, and help us spread the word of the Lord.
Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to episode 45 of our Journey to the Spirit. This is our week 5 of our 6-week journey, and today we're going to focus on 2 of the last attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, and those are self-control and gentleness. Before we get started, if you want to take a look at the show notes, you'll see the link to our companion download, which has a lot more detailed information. It has our outline of the notes for our time together, as well as some other activities in there for you to do. So take a peek at that, and we add to it each week, adding the new content. So at the end of 6 weeks, you'll have 6 weeks of content that you can go back in and study and at your leisure or print out.
Yeah, it's always good to have those for reference because, you know, if you're like me, you leak.
Yeah.
And I leak like a sieve. So I need to constantly refresh myself of what was that we were studying about? There was something really cool about. And so I have to go back and look.
Yeah. And our podcast is here. So you can come back and listen to it again and absolutely, take notes. And there you go. Mm-hmm. So with all of that busyness out of the way.
Yes.
Honey, would you like to read our scripture from this series again?
Yes. We have been studying this time the scripture in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. I'll read from the New King James Version, and it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law."
Mic drop. Paul has a lot of those mic drops.
He does. He's just a master of just laying it out there, and there's nothing else really to say.
No, he's pretty honest.
Yeah, pretty direct.
Direct. I like that. Mm-hmm.
And as you know, you found out in his commentary about self-control.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's very direct.
We can talk about that when we get to that. I'm blushing already. That was, yes.
Yeah.
So we did some study, and we're talking about that, obviously. So we'll get into the self-control
portion
next. But let's start off with gentleness. I know you looked up the Greek.
Yes, I did. And you know what that word means in the Greek? Gentleness.
And mildness.
Yes. Mildness and gentleness. So it's very straightforward. There's not a whole lot of shift between the old usage and the new. And then the translation from the Greek to the English is pretty straightforward on that one.
But we start talking about what gentleness is. And we know in modern day application, you're like, okay, I can be gentle with my children, gentle with, you know, you can tell the children, be gentle with the puppy. Don't break the neck of the duck.
Don't be pulling the ears. Don't be pulling the tail.
But what does gentleness mean in our lives? And one of the scriptures that I was drawn to was 1 Peter 3:15 out of the NIV. Can I read that?
Yeah.
Okay. So it says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for your hope that you have. but do this with gentleness and respect. Mm-hmm. And that just, it drew me in, because sometimes we want to thump people over the head.
Yeah.
We're like, you just need to believe.
Yeah. And that's one thing that's always frustrated me since I began to really seek the Lord and really get enlightened and let the Holy Spirit teach me from the Word. You get this revelation and you get really excited about it. And
I want to share it with everybody.
You want to share it with everybody. And there's this resistance. People have this resistance to
change in what they believe.
Yeah,
what they've been taught.
It's changing what they believe, or what, from, you know, because they've been taught for so long something, they believe it. And then when you tell them, well, you know, yes, that may be true, but there's so much more to that. There's a resistance, and they just want to stay in their comfort zone. And so that's frustrating.
And especially, you know, where I feel it the most is when we talk about healing. And they're like, what?
Yes.
No, we have to pray for that. And we have to wait for the Lord. We're like, no, the Lord gave you authority to heal yourself and others. And you have all the authority that Jesus had. They're like, no.
Yeah.
I just have to pray and hope. And God did this to me because I'm supposed to learn something. We're like, no.
Yeah.
No. He wants you well. Yeah. He loves you and he wants you well. So that's where I get like, no, you can be healed, but you have to grab a hold of it.
Yep.
You have to grab the brass ring, and you have to, you know, the brass ring meaning everything that Jesus died for us, for our salvation.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly what used to so frustrate me, is because that was the very first revelation that I had that the Lord really opened my eyes to, and I was constantly, I was a youth pastor or youth leader, and also was doing some teaching in the church as part of the leadership team. I would cover for, you know, pastor when he was gone, and I would teach on Sundays. And so a lot of times those messages contained scriptures and teaching on healing and the fact that God has already provided. You don't have to ask him for it. God has already provided that healing. Mm-hmm. And there was so much resistance to that. And I could spend hours sharing scripture after scripture after scripture, and not my words, God's words.
Mm-hmm.
And people still would not receive it. And I got so frustrated. And then finally the Lord, you know, kind of smacked me upside the head and said, hey, you need to be gentle and just show them by example.
More bees with honey.
Yes.
Than vinegar.
Yes. Because when somebody, you know, they can get very nasty and vicious.
Mm-hmm.
When you're
dumping them over the head?
What? No, when you're just sharing the truth.
Oh, sure.
and you don't understand why they're not receiving it.
But we're supposed to just, like we say, serve the pizza, mm-hmm. sow the seed,
yeah,
and then it will be, you know, but I do know God's equipped us with that knowledge. So we have everything that we need to share with them.
Mm-hmm.
They have everything they need to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to choose and make the choice. And we're supposed to share it. We're supposed to answer those questions. We're not supposed to hide our head if someone has questions about our faith or, you know, the salvation that God gave, that Jesus gave us, and how we can go directly to God through Jesus now. So we're supposed to share all of those things, and we're supposed to defend the gospel. So we need to do it gently, but we need to absolutely defend the gospel, the good news, but do it with grace.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just kind of a slippery slope. and I think it takes patience too. So that's another fruit of the Spirit attribute. It takes that patience to say, okay, I'm just gonna plant the seed. We know God's gonna continue to water that, mm-hmm. and nourish that seed.
Yeah.
And hopefully, with a lot of faith behind it, that person will see the light, and, you know, like we did.
Yeah, and
like,
that's,
whoa.
You know, where we came up with the love them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Even if, even when, even then.
Love them anyway.
You just love them right where they're at. You have to share the truth with them, but you can't force feed them.
Yeah, and if they don't decide, if they don't decide to follow Christ right in this moment, it doesn't mean that it's a no forever.
Right.
Absolutely. It's just a not right now. Mm-hmm. And people will think about it.
Yeah.
You know, you see them and they're curious. Well, and
the Holy Spirit will bring it to their remembrance at the right time.
Someone else will say something else, yeah. And they'll be like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I've heard
that's what the Viking Lioness said.
No. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I know we're excited, and everyone's excited. When you can't unsee it, you can't unhear it. Once you know the truth, you're like, did you know? Like, I'm a newer born again, I guess, than you are. Or I'm new to a lot of things. I don't remember a time, I can't put my finger on a time that I'm like, oh yeah, now I'm born again, now I believe in Christ. I've always believed in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't always know the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I still thought the Old Testament ways.
Sure.
So when I learned that, I'm like, why didn't someone tell me this? And I don't remember. I went to a lovely church. You know, mm-hmm. I was Presbyterian growing up. We went to church. It was lovely. It was wonderful. But I don't remember them saying this. It was more Old Testament.
Churchy.
It was churchy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like such a Baptist, revelation.
The Baptists were the same way. The Christian churches of Christ
I'm
were
sure
the same
it's, yeah,
way.
I just, yeah, I mean, just, and mine was more progressive. So the mm-hmm. church I went to, I'm like, remember there were things that was much more progressive at the time. Yeah.
That made some of the older folk kind of go,
yeah, oh. Exactly. And so I think just continuing to share, planting the seed.
Gently.
And seeing what the Holy Spirit will do. Because mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit's going to totally.
Yep. You just got to love them. You got to share the truth. Plant the seed. You're a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you are. You're a farmer. All your whole responsibility is to love them like Jesus loves you and plant the seed.
And just do that.
You're not responsible for the results.
Do that test. Is this kind? Before it comes out your mouth. Have that filter.
Yes.
And then tap in. Tap into the Holy Spirit saying, I need a way. You need to give me the words to defend the gospel in a graceful way, in a reverent way where there's respect behind it. Respect for the person that you're sharing it with. But show me, give me the words.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he gives me the words.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure he gives you the words too.
Yeah.
And it's always the right words.
If I can put my flesh aside and listen, yes. There are times.
I don't like to be wrong.
Yes, I don't either. And I am very excited about the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it is such an amazing God's grace is so amazing and so powerful and so available that I wish I could just, you know, like open people's heads up and pour in the knowledge that he's shared with me.
And give him the brass ring. Like, here's the brass ring, now
yes.
grab it.
Yes, take
you
it,
don't
please.
Have to go on the merry-go-round.
No.
You can just have the brass ring without grabbing it on the merry-go-round.
Yeah.
We need to hand out brass rings.
Yeah.
Side note. Yeah, it's hard because we want everyone to be healed too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want everyone to have what we've recognized.
Yep.
What we're like, oh yeah. I don't want to be stressed and full of angst and worry and fear and all of those things that I used to do. I just want to, in those moments, of course, there's uncertainty at times. There's the unknown, but I just want to trust in the Lord and be more curious about what he's going to do and how he's going to navigate through this.
And that's really the key, is to find a way to incite curiousness in people. make them go, mm-hmm. oh, wait a minute.
Well, that's how I found you.
No. You were curious?
No. Well, no. A month before I met you, I said, I surrender. I give up this search and this quest and this me doing it my way. And I gave that search up to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got curious. I was excited. I'm like, ooh, I wonder who the Lord's going to bring into my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was really exciting. Like, oh, is it that person? No. Is it that person? Is it, oh, maybe it's tomorrow. Or wonder how I'm going to meet this person. Mm-hmm. And it makes it exciting. I don't want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day. Boring.
Yeah, right? Then you get there and it's not exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I would have liked to know that the dogs were going to dig up the dog pen before, so we put the rocks down before.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is fresh in our mind. We came home today.
The pain is fresh. The wounds are still there.
Yeah, our lovely guardian dogs dug a big hole as deep as them in our freshly...
To get out of their dog pen.
Yeah, so I would have liked to have that knowledge before, so we would have done it differently, but I digress.
Yes.
And that, I guess we were pretty gentle when we came home. Like,
yes, I was struggling to tap into the gentleness that I have in the spirit. And, you know, that's another thing we need to remind them. As we're talking about the fruit of the spirit, we got to remember that it's one fruit.
That's right.
There's one spirit who lives inside of you, and he produces all of these qualities, these what we call the nutrients of the fruit.
That's super fruit,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's producing those in you all the time. You have, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit has come and taken up residence within you, and you have love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, self-control, and faithfulness. You have all of those things. I know that was not in the right order.
That's okay.
But that was all 9 nutrients.
It was in the blender.
Yes. That was the blender of my mind as it's racing through all of these things. But you have all of those things in you right now, and they are there and available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, forever.
Yeah.
I was having a hard time with our precious,
lovely,
sweet
puppies,
100-pound puppies
that are muddy faced, looking at you like, hi,
dirt all over them. I was having trouble tapping into the kindness and the gentleness in my spirit.
And so,
my flesh was getting in the way drastically.
I liked when you said, that's a no-no. I'm like, oh, that was pretty gentle. And they're like, okay, just let me out.
Yeah.
Just let it get out and play.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That example was kind of funny, but...
Yes, funny. Hindsight's always funnier than in the moment. But I was able to finally find the gentleness and put my flesh aside and be okay with them.
It didn't have anything to do with their big brown eyes? Maybe.
No, I think I could see and notice their big brown lovable eyes after I tapped into the gentleness.
And that they're only 6 months old. Yes.
And thoroughly put my flesh aside.
So we need to do the same thing with people.
Yes, definitely.
In our lives. So when they ask the questions or they say the thing or... they're in their fleshly moments.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be gentle with them.
Yep.
Yep. So the next nutrient.
And the final.
The final. Ooh. Is self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And it says the trait of resolutely controlling one's own desires, which would produce actions, especially sensual desires.
Yeah. And this is what we were referring to earlier.
Because I know. And I actually
said, Paul's pretty direct in how he talks about controlling your sensual desires, especially when he was talking to the Corinthians. Yes. Because there was a lot of really, shall we say,
colorful
things happening within the church in Corinth.
Well, because like you pointed out, they came from
the worship of Athena, mm-hmm. which, if you're not familiar with the old Greek religions, the worship of Athena involved going to the temple, and they would have sex with the temple prostitutes, and that was their form of worship to their gods. So when Paul converted all of these people to Christianity and they became believers, a lot of that old stuff they brought with them into the church. And so there were some really, what we would, and what really are, inappropriate things happening within the church, and Paul had to correct them on that.
It's like, hello.
He's like, yeah, that was the old way. This is no, not in the church. So, and you know, we would probably throw up our hands and go, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And Paul just dealt with it directly and corrected them, exhorted them to live holy and live in a totally new way that did not resemble their old way.
So there's a scripture that you were interested in that you were really drawn to, mm-hmm. that came out of 2 Peter 5 through 8, New King James Version. Would you like to read that for us?
Yeah. This one is pretty cool. It says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. So in other words, as you're pursuing these things, it will open up to you more and more revelation of who God is and who Jesus is.
I love how it built upon itself and ended in love.
Yeah.
Because that's the foundation of it all.
Yeah. And, you know, in a lot of the scholarly studies of the scriptures, whenever there's a list in the scriptures, usually the last in the list is actually the most important.
The most important.
You know, and there's the scripture, and now abide faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Right? It's mm-hmm. the last in the list, but then Paul points out that it's the greatest.
Just like 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Mm-hmm. 8 is, and love never fails.
That's right. The very last thing is always the one that you are supposed to remember first.
Mm-hmm. So, God gave us free will, but what our fleshly ways, our fleshly desires, they don't always align with what God desires. And they definitely don't align with what is in our best interest. I know there's, sometimes I'll hear people say, but God gave us free will, so it must be okay. Or,
and he's given us freedom
yes.
to choose, but he's saying choose the right things. Choose to walk in the Spirit.
And he's given us those bumpers. He's given those the guidelines.
He's just saying follow the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Don't follow your fleshly desires. That's the self-control part. Mm-hmm. Following the Spirit, if you follow the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of your flesh. That's what walking in the Spirit is. Mm-hmm. And that's tapping into all of the nutrients of the Holy Spirit living within you. Mm-hmm. And just focusing on those things.
And because of the sins of Adam, like we talked about, it's been programmed into our DNA.
From birth, yeah.
From birth, that we're going to have those fleshly desires.
And it's like reprogramming your brain all over again. Just like you did when you were an infant, and you learned things, and you grew, and you matured, and you grew up in things. Well, once you become a believer, then guess what? You're starting over as an infant.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to have all kinds of new things to learn. And one of those things is learning how to walk in the Spirit. And you'll get better at it. And the more that you grow your spirit and let your mind and your will and your emotions know that the Spirit's in charge,
mm-hmm.
then the more your body will come in line.
But I know we all have a vice or two or three or whatever. But I know for me, when I get stressed or when I, you know, any of those emotions that if I'm not in control, I want to eat. Mm-hmm. And I want to eat things that are not maybe a right choice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to fixate on, you know, deciding what in the cabinet over there in the pantry is good or bad, because food is not good or bad. Food should not control me. I need to have to tap into that Holy Spirit to have that self-control and go, yes, I can eat the whole pie or the whole thing of cookies that are there.
Mm-hmm.
That's typically my go-to is sweets. But is it really good for me? Mm-hmm. And the next day I'm like, no, that wasn't good for me. So,
sure.
And you'd think I would learn. But it's in those moments that, you know, we're going to be tempted. Like, whether it's that or whatever else the vice is.
Mm-hmm.
If the enemy knows that, he's going to come in and use that.
Mm-hmm.
I've found to draw us away from the Lord. So instead of turning to the pantry in a moment where I'm sad or stressed or bored or whatever it is, I need to turn to the Lord. Turn to the Holy Spirit and say, you know, guide me.
Mm-hmm.
Give me another option. You know, let's figure out what the root of this is.
And that's the key right there.
Mm-hmm.
Is to get the understanding of why do I turn to this instead of turning to the Lord?
Right.
Because in Him is perfect peace and fulfillment and all of those mm-hmm. things. Why do I want to substitute by this thing in the cabinet or this thing in the wine cabinet or this mm-hmm. thing in the, you know, in the bar or whatever it is that you turn to? Why do you do that instead of turning to the Lord? And the answer will always be because you do not truly know yet that He is going to fulfill you better than that thing.
Than that thing.
Because you've always turned to that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
It's always provided that comfort at the moment.
And for a lot of people, I know it's not just me, when you're growing up and you fall and cut your leg or you get a good grade, whatever those things are, those moments, and they're mm-hmm. like, oh, let's go get ice cream. Or let's go do this. And it's just ingrained in you. You're like, oh, yeah. Okay.
That's your reward.
I'm feeling sad. I get candy or something to make me happy. I'm got a good grade. So my reward is food mm-hmm. or sweets or whatever to celebrate. I'm like, what? I don't. So no fault of anybody, but it just becomes your go-to.
Yeah. And I mean, the intent was for the best and mm-hmm. to celebrate and to encourage and all of those things. And yet, that becomes a pattern.
Sure. And I wish it was the celebration with the people that was the focus instead of the food that was there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at different cultures, and I'm going down the rabbit trail a little bit with this, but this is what's on my heart. I feel like I need to say it. Certain cultures, you're like, well, they look healthy and they don't look like, you know, they're eating the wrong things or whatever. But their focus, a lot of it is on God. A lot of it is on family and fellowship. And so they put their focus there.
Mm-hmm.
The food is secondary.
Yeah.
And so they're turning to those things that are a healthier choice
mm-hmm.
in those moments. I know this last weekend, I spent time out in the garden. And what I realized huh, I have any of those moments where I'm like, oh, I need a cookie or I need a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was just filled up with the time with the Lord out there while I was preparing the garden to plant seeds.
Not to mention the intense grounding that happens when you have
look at my feet.
Yeah. Your feet and your hands in the dirt and in the soil and planting and...
Your feet might be black like mine were because
only if you do flip-flops like you were doing.
No.
I don't do that when I'm outside. For me, if I'm going to be grounding, it's because my hands are on something that's in the ground or in earth contact. Or it's, I've intentionally taken my shoes and socks off
to walk in the grass.
To walk on the grass to ground specifically.
To not stand in the potting soil. Dark color. So it's all on my toes. No, we digress. But
yeah,
that's right. I was out in nature. So here are all the trees around me. So that symbiotic relationship with the trees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm breathing out carbon dioxide. They're breathing out oxygen and we exchange. It's awesome. And then touching the ground, whether it's on rock, soil,
grass,
the beach, the sand, ocean, whatever. Water is really good, conductor.
Yes.
Whatever that is, I could feel it. Mm-hmm. I could feel the peace of the Lord just filling me up. And then all of that, just that toxic energy that was just... I'm like moving around like a, I don't know, really fast.
Mm-hmm.
I just envision it. You can
agitated.
Feel that.
Agitated.
Yeah, agitated. So you have all of these little electrons and stuff inside of you just moving around agitated. And they just stopped. And they didn't stop. But we don't want them to stop. But they just calmed. Mm-hmm. And I felt the peace.
Yeah.
And I spent all day out there. And I wasn't snacking all day or anything. I didn't feel the need to.
Yep.
And that was really good. So whatever that vice is, could be food. It could be a lot of different things. It could be just sitting and vegging on TV instead of spending time with the Lord. But the enemy will hone in on that and try to keep you away from the Lord.
Yep.
And so in those moments, when something happens or really gets where I'm drawn to the pantry, I'm like, no, not today, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to bring that into my life. And if it does come in, I'm going to go to the Lord. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be like Nehemiah.
Mm.
And he prayed. And he prayed.
No, she prayed.
Huh?
It's going to be, and she prayed.
Oh, yes. But Nehemiah, with the scripture, it's one of my favorite lines. And he prayed.
Mm-hmm.
In every circumstance, tap in.
Yeah, he did not trust his own natural thoughts or solutions in anything.
What was it, like 3 or 4 months before he went? He knew he was called to go and help rebuild the wall in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
But it was 3 to 4 months before he even approached the king to ask him for permission to go. I'm like... Mm-hmm. You paid for 3 or 4 months. I don't have that kind of patience. Like, that is just solid patience. And
even Daniel is the same way. You know, in several of the times where he was given visions, he set his mind to pray, fast and pray. Well, you know, there were 2 times where his fasting and praying was interrupted by an angel. The first one happened, I think it was 7 days. It was rapid. There was a rapid response, but still took 7 days for the angel to come. The next time was 21 days.
Mm.
And the angel actually apologized, sort of, and said, you know, the Lord sent me from the moment that you started praying to give you this message, but the enemy resisted him coming to Daniel for 21 days.
Mm.
And so much so that Michael had to come and help him get the message through because the enemy was fighting him that hard, trying to keep him away from Daniel.
And when you're doing good things, you're doing good works like Nehemiah, when you're on your wall, the enemy will try to draw you down.
Yep.
And come on down. Let's talk. Come on down. Let's, you know, let's have a discussion. Come on down. Nope. I'm staying on my wall. I'm doing good works for God.
Yep. And just remember, it's not something you have to struggle to get.
It's right there.
You have.
You got the power.
That's right. You have it. So remember it's there and just tap into it in those situations.
Because it's for your own good. Like you know, have you ever eaten too much sugar the next day or drank too much alcohol, if you drank alcohol or all of those things, or, you know, ate just too much food or, you know, I don't know, didn't get enough sleep, all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, next year, like, why did I do that? Why did I do that?
Yeah. Yeah. And especially at our age, when we say that, it's like really bad because we've done it enough to know better.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's crazy how we work. But as you grow in the Spirit, as you choose to tap into those things, it'll get easier and easier over time.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to remember that you already have it.
There was another scripture, Proverbs 16:32 out of the NIV, and it says, "Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes the city." I'm like, oh, so good. So good.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and I know it's not totally related, but The Art of War is a book that was based on the warrior Susan, I'm going to slaughter the name. But he had these principles that, and again, he wasn't Christian, but it's the same type of principle. And one of those was, you know your enemy better than you, but also to not, I'm going to slaughter exactly how he said it, but to try to resolve things peacefully and not just run off and start a war. And that's this kind of the same thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Is use that self-control, use the patience, and
use the kindness, use the goodness, use the
gentleness,
use the faithfulness,
love, peace,
joy,
patience,
long
suffering, faithfulness, goodness.
Yeah, we should have not changed long suffering to patience.
I know.
Should still use long suffering.
I know, because it makes so much sense.
It is so descriptive of the way it feels sometimes. To be patient, it feels like you're suffering for a long time.
Yes, exactly. So
but Jesus suffered far more than you and I ever will. So it's okay to have a little bit of struggle or a little bit of discomfort as you're being patient.
So one last scripture.
Got
to throw this one in there. Galatians 5:16-18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
Mm-hmm.
Not awesome?
It's so good.
It's really good. Like,
and just to clarify, when the New King James is talking about lusts of the flesh, it's not always a sensual or sexual reference. A lust of the flesh is just a desire of that your flesh has for something that you shouldn't have. That's all it is. When you're lusting after something, it's not sexual.
I mean,
it can be, but it's just having a desire for something that you're not supposed to have or that you shouldn't have.
Just not your, in your best
interest. That's not good for you.
Yeah.
So when your flesh is lusting against your spirit, it's talking about having desires that your spirit is saying, no, don't do that. It's going to hurt you. It's going to lead you astray. It's going to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
but it's not going to be the best for you.
Yep. It's like a parent just reminding a child, that's hot, don't do that, it's going to burn you.
Yeah.
And what's the child do? Touch. Touch.
Depends on the child. I was one of the children that had to find out why. I didn't learn from other people's mistakes or their instructions.
But I'm sure your parents didn't want you to be hurt. They're
no.
Like, no. So, yes, it will happen if we choose that route, and God will use that as an educational moment. It's like, okay, now that you've done that, even though I told you not to do it, let's use that to learn. But God does not cause those. Now the enemy can come in and try to do those things, but God does not hurt us.
No.
God loves us unconditionally and wants the best for us. That's why we have the Holy Spirit.
That's right. He gave us His absolute best.
His own personal guide inside of each and every one of us.
His own person, huh?
Yeah.
Him.
But our own guide, you know, like the...
Yeah.
Just a guy, our own Google, our own navigation tool, everything inside of it. Everything
Google
we
Maps.
Need. Yeah, we don't need all that.
Nope. Or Apple Maps if
yes.
you're Apple positive.
Exactly. Okay, so we digress.
Yes. This is getting kind of rabbit-y.
Yes.
Rabbit trail-ish. How about we wrap it up? Do you think we've covered self-control and...
I think so. I think we've done justice to it.
Gentleness.
Mm-hmm.
Enough.
Mm-hmm.
Get the notes. There's more scripture there. There's all of the outline, the definitions.
Scripture cards.
Scripture cards. There's all kinds of good stuff in there for you. It's free download. It's in the description area below. Just click the link. It'll open the page for you. And actually, it'll have all of the weekly downloads in there in one file. So we encourage you to get that and join us next week. You know what next week is?
The baptism of the Holy Spirit.
You got the power.
Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes. We've been talking about the indwelling Holy Spirit next week, our final week. And that's actually the week just preceding the Feast of Pentecost.
Yep.
We're going to talk about the original Pentecost where the Holy Spirit fell in power on those disciples that were in the upper room.
Mm.
And you'll see the dramatic difference between the indwelling Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, indeed.
So we encourage you to join us. On that happy note, why don't you pray us out, baby?
Okay. Please join me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together today and discussing the last two nutrients of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control and gentleness. We just ask that you remind us in those moments where we may need to tap into those nutrients, we may need some gentleness when we're having conversation with others, when we're on a mission to lead others to you. Let us just remember to do that in gentleness, to just have that gentle conversation, that gentle touch, that kindness, that compassion that goes along with anything that we share with them. And just gently guiding them to you so that they can have the revelation that we know, they'll know the truth that we know, that they'll come to know Jesus and to follow Jesus like we do. We also ask that we tap into the self-control that we know is right within us. So we know that you've given us free will. We know that we are not bound to anything. We have freedom. But we know that not everything is good for us and not pleasing in your eyes. We know you love us anyway, but we know that we can make better choices. And we just ask that the Holy Spirit comes in those moments and helps comfort us, helps guide us and bring us to better choices and more closer to you, Lord. That we're just drawn to you and that we just come into conversation and relationship with you and really just get to know you so much more and spend time with you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us and that we can just tap into this to him at any time that we need. And we just thank you for your love, that you loved us so much that you gave your son at the cross so that we could be free. We could be free from our past, our present, and our future sin, that you loved us just unconditionally, regardless of that sin that is we were born with. So today we just ask that you continue to draw us in closer to you, to spend that time with us, and to just love us big. We're so grateful for you. And it's in your son's precious name that we pray all of these things. And all God's kids said, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen.
And amen, and amen, and amen. Good stuff. Well, shall we leave them with some perfect peace?
Yes, we shall.
Shalom,
shalom. Shalom.
We will see you next time.
We love you.